Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Now, in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God does not constitute, or it's not meat and drink, what you eat and what you are drinking that forms or is the substance of God's kingdom. But the kingdom of God finds its substance in three things." It says, number one, righteousness. Number two, and peace. And then number three, and a joy in the Holy Ghost. And we've said that that scripture should be read as it is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness and a peace, and then a joy produced by the Holy Ghost. So there is a joy that is produced by the Holy Spirit, and when that joy is in operation, there is a demonstration of the kingdom of God. And when there is a demonstration of the kingdom of God, that demonstration of the kingdom is a demonstration of the Spirit of God and a demonstration of the power of God. Now, Kenneth Hagin said a Holy Ghost meeting consists essentially of three things. Number one, it's a meeting where the Word of God is taught. Number two, it is a meeting where the Spirit of God is in demonstration and is in operation. And then number three, it's a meeting that is designed that through the demonstration of the Spirit, the needs of people are met. He now went further and said, where there is a demonstration of the Spirit, there is always a manifestation of joy in the midst of the people. In other words, if the needs of the people are to be met by a demonstration of the Spirit, then it is through a manifestation of the fullness of joy there, produced by the Holy Ghost, that's how the needs of the people will be met. That's why David said, "You have shown me, God, the secret of life. In thy presence, there is fullness of joy. That is, you will not suffer my soul to see corruption." In other words, my circumstance and situation will not deteriorate until corruption sets in. For you have shown me the path of life. In your presence right there, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So we find the pleasures of God, the purpose of God, being made manifest by the right hand of God when people enter into the presence of God with a fullness of joy. So once joy is in operation, there is a demonstration of the Spirit. Now, if I get into this, let's look at a few scriptures about joy. Joel chapter 1 and verse 12. Joel chapter 1 and verse 12. It tells us that the vine is dried up and the fig tree languisheth. Talks about the pomegranate tree and the palm tree also. And the apple tree, even all the trees of the field, are withered away. And the reason why they are withered away, and what we're speaking about, we must understand it's an agro economy. In other words, it was an economy that was built. Their evaluation of, all right, economic progress was built, all right, using agricultural products. So it talks about in the Bible, it tells us your barns will be filled with plenty and your wine presses will burst forth with new wine. If it was today, Jesus and God will not use that language to describe the nature of your blessing, talking about the entrance of the Spirit into the economic affairs of people. He will use other words and phrases to describe it, that is, that will represent, all right, what, okay, is going on today in society. But the point we're getting to is that, he said, the reason why everything is drying up. We get into your business, everything is drying up. We get into a person's marriage, everything seems to be drying up. And people are complaining about things on the outside. He said, once there is things are withering on the outside, it's because the joy level on the inside is being affected and being tampered with. That is, as joy begins to wither, so does the life. As joy begins to increase, so does the life go on the increase. The way the level of joy is within the heart is the way the life on the outside will shape up. So joy there determines our productivity. If we look at Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 10, I want to build this thing up, right? Isaiah 16 and verse 10, it tells us that, and gladness is taken away, and a joy out of the plentiful field. In other words, if you remove joy, the plenty diminishes. And in the vineyard, there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses, for I have made their vintage shouting to what? Cease. In other words, no more products are coming out. And he said, because the shout of joy inside their heart, I have made it to cease. So where joy is present, right, the kingdom of God, the power of God, the Spirit is in demonstration on the outside in the life of that person in every aspect of their lives. And so we've seen that the elder brother coming home heard the sound of music, heard the sound of dancing, and he was offended in his heart. And he said, all these years, all right, all these years, you have given me not one kid. I have served you. If you hear what he said that I might make merry with my friends. In other words, he had never had a joy party while he was in his father's house. He had never really experienced the joy. All right, he was working for his father. He said, I have not transgressed your law once. He said, but this experience of joy, this outburst of joy, he said, I have never once, have you never, me and my friends, have never, all right, the Bible speaks about a merry heart doeth good like medicine. It tells us all the days of the afflicted are evil, all right? And then it says, but he that has a merry heart has a continuous feast. And this is what he said here. I have not transgressed it at any time, yet thou never gavest me a kid, that is the child of a goat, that I might make merry with my friends. So I've really never transgressed your word. But he said, listen, I have never experienced joy, and he was dissatisfied inside his heart. So it is important that for us to have productivity in what we are doing, I want to get into this, right? Joy has to be there inside our heart. If we look again further at Isaiah 35 and verse 1, that's why I like what Mark Hankin says, joy is the serious business of heaven. When I look at joy as, you know, just joy, you know, people are just rejoicing, it's the serious business of heaven. Now, let me say something here. The fact that you are singing doesn't mean you are rejoicing. All right, I'll get into this. And the joy that comes out of truth is the joy that will never fail. The joy we are speaking about is what Jesus said, they that worship in spirit. And if you're worshiping in spirit, you are worshiping in truth. It is not enjoying the music. It is singing out of revelation in your heart. All right? It is the sweetness of the word of God on your lips. It is different from going for a party. And then they're just playing natural music that is nice. And you are dancing to the music because you enjoy the sound of the thing and the way the music has been well arranged. And you know, the thing there, it feels good. That's not the joy of the Holy Spirit. All right? It's not just that. There's something that is propelling, right, the singing there. There is a feeling, we'll get to it, that comes alongside it. There is an experience inside your soul as you are singing. All right, you are caught up in something and it's coming out of the truth that is inside your heart that you are giving expression to. Isaiah 35 here and verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice. We've said this, the word rejoice is to enjoy, right, the feeling of being in possession of something. So there is a feeling there when you rejoice. You are rekindling something on the inside. All right? It says the wilderness will rejoice. The solitary place will rejoice. And because of that, it shall blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and shall rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel there and Sharon. And then it speaks about, all right, and you shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency, all right, of our God. So it speaks about rejoicing there that causes things to blossom. So what do we want to do this evening? All right? What is our assignment? What do we want, okay, to accomplish? First of all, apart from entering every single person into the feeling there as you sing of being in possession of certain things that you have believed God for. Are you following what I'm saying here? Entering into that this evening, feeling it inside your heart, coming into a realization of it inside your soul, all right? That thing there, as you sing. But we also understand that when people come together and the body of Christ comes together corporately to do anything, united in purpose, every individual is able to make such advancement in the realm of the Spirit as it's impossible to do when you're on your own. Let me repeat. I am not saying you might. It is impossible to generate the amount of power that can be generated when two or three come together in agreement, doing it, all right, by yourself as an individual, right? You can generate power, but you cannot generate as much power as when people come together in agreement to get into certain things. So what do we want to do this evening? We want to, with joy, draw water out of the wells of salvation. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is, everybody has a well of salvation in your life. There is something that you are seeing inside your heart. We want to, with joy, draw water out of it. Now, let me explain this in a more modern term. Because, like we said, it was an agro-economy. And therefore, the way you water your field, right, is from the well, you'll draw water. So it's like saying you are drawing out of the resources there, all right, from the well. Well, let me use an ATM card to explain what we're saying. Now, faith is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, when a person says, I'm believing God for something, there is a basis upon which that person is believing God, which is God's word. He has gotten evidence, all right, from the word of God that this particular thing is in existence and has been given unto me by God. By the eyes of his understanding being opened, we have from the word of God the evidence of things that are not seen. Therefore, faith is not an irrational or blind attempt to get something with willpower, but it's a rational thing, which means once the Holy Spirit has shown you the word of God concerning that, you have the evidence of the things that are not seen. Now, what am I saying? If a person comes and says, I have 3 million naira in my account, the truth about it is that he hasn't seen the 3 million naira, the cash there, placed inside his account. The only reason why the person is saying that is that they have the evidence of things they have not seen. In other words, they have a bank statement that has 3 with zeros there. And you say, how do you know you have 3 million? He doesn't show you the cash. He shows you the evidence of the things that are not seen. He goes to an ATM machine and types balance. Based on what his eye sees, he says, I have 4.2 million. He has not seen the money. Do you get what I'm saying here? He has not touched the money. All he has is the evidence of things not seen. So what God wants to show you is your balance in the word of God. That this is what is in existence in the realm of the spirit. The same way a person says, 4.2 million is in existence in my account. Now, based on the fact that he has seen the evidence, if his account read 0000 and he's driving past, all right, he won't go to an ATM, he won't go there because he knows there's no money. But now that he saw 4.2 million, he goes there confidently based on the evidence he has seen in his bank statement and puts in his ATM card and punches the thing in. And for the first time, he touches the physical value of what he only had the evidence on paper. What he's telling you is that anything you see in the word of God, joy is what you use to punch the physical value and reality into your life. Are you following what I'm saying here? So it's where joy, where draw water, which means that once you enter into the place of joy concerning any truth you have seen, your ATM machine begins to deliver the events. Do you get what I'm saying? So joy is serious business, all right? Now, someone said, Lil Yeoman, we can praise our way through to a perfect manifested, to perfect manifested victory. She said, this is called the praise cure. And we have found that it never fails. When the praise is the outflow of a heart resting in the unchanging word of God. Not the praise that stems out of wanting to enjoy singing. All right? I can play a song that you like, but it might not be word-based, but you sing along with the song, and you enjoy singing that. You can go for a birthday party, and they're playing a song about birthday, and you enjoy it, and you can dance to that. That's not worship. That's not praise. That doesn't register in the spirit realm. Those that worship God in spirit And for you to worship and operate in the Spirit, it must be based on truth. There is no registration in the realm of the Spirit of any utterance or song except it's an expression of truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is when you are singing the truth, it is when you are rejoicing in the word, that your voice is entering into the realm of the Spirit. So if I sing about the fact that with beautiful beats, and I say, one day Satan go fall, one day Satan go fall. Are you following what I'm saying here? It cannot be. It cannot be. Because Satan has already fallen. It's not based on truth. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? It's when you sing songs and you rejoice in the truth, that what happens is, I mean, there are songs you can sing there. And that's what this covenant is all about. All right? The manifestation, and I'm going somewhere here, the manifestation, all right, of the things that have been wrought for us in Christ comes on the grounds of praise. Let me repeat. The covenant that God made with man, we haven't seen this. The covenant he made with man, when he said to Jesus, and the covenant made with man through Jesus, when he said, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool. The only way in the word of God those enemies are going to be subdued under your feet is by you singing. Are you following what I'm saying here? The Bible says God has perfected praise to steal the enemy and to stop the avenger. The avenger is somebody that has a right to bring about the penalty for wrongdoing. He's not an enemy, he's an avenger. Which means an avenger means you did something wrong and coming. It says, with a song, what should rightfully come to you as the consequence of your mistake can be held back.
Thank you for listening.